Okay, we're going to move on now to the reports from the GMs and archive manager. The first one will be from BAI. Bertol Reimer. Now, the rules for this are the following, and the GMs are aware of it. I've allocated 10 minutes total time for this. If they want to take questions, they'll speak less than 10 minutes, and you can ask questions for the remainder. Otherwise, it'll be for 10 minutes. That didn't sound like it was on. That's better.
All right. Hi, everyone. How you doing?
Good.
Okay. As you know, I've been the official IGM since Monday, so I do not actually have a report, although I've been very active these past 3 weeks managing BAI as much as I can. I will start by reading a letter from the listener to, you know, give you a status of, you know, the health of WBAI right now. So as I was in the business office going over, you know, the mail that came through, I came upon this. Dear Pacifica Foundation, ID undersigned is writing to you with some disappointment about the latest book I have ordered, namely The Story of Lena Horne. I see disappointment because I have paid for 2 items before and did not receive them. However, this time, one is beginning to lose trust in an organization that I have grown to love and cherish. So please see to it that my book is forthcoming. I enclose with trust and expectation that my Lena Horne story will be here soon. I am 76 years old and a pensioner, so you can work out how much $150 means to me. My check number is number so-and-so. Yours truly. So, that, in a nutshell, is the story of WBAI this past probably 7 years. And it's a pretty sad story. So, as a GM and as someone who was working at WBAI kind of as a consultant this since October 2009, I'm pretty familiar with what's going on at the station. And I'm also pretty familiar with what's going on at the station because I was the first chair of the LSB at BAI about 7 years ago. So I know the politics. I know the mechanics of the station. I'm also a listener for over 20 years, and I was brought into WBAI by probably the ContraGate story, which has brought a lot of people into BAI. So, my vision is to return BAI basically to its original mission of fostering understanding amongst nation, race, and creed, and to give a voice to the voiceless, which means musics that are not played in the main media and so on. Based on this letter, you can imagine that I thought my first focus would be the financials and the MEMSIS system, which gathers all information of pledges paid. There have been a lot of turnover at the station, and when I was a consultant, I kind of, you know, studied the system and probably became one of the ones who knew about this system more than anyone else actually currently employed. Which is not encouraging, because we have had people there working for a long time at this station, and we should probably have a few people well aware of, you know, the ins and outs of MEMSIS. So with that said, it turns out that my first priority is going to be the phone system at BAI. We did have a phone system that the entire staff has been complaining about not working properly, losing contact during fund drive for the past 10 years. So finally, we have a new, we purchased a new phone system and leased a new phone system that we were going to install should have been installed about 3 months ago. And my priority is to get this phone system installed. We've had about 3 meetings already, a lot of reports, and then by the end of this month, I'm going to become a techie, and that's pretty difficult to get me to. There are a lot of, right now, my goal was to get this phone system installed by the end of this month, and I am not quite sure that's going to be accomplished, but what I can tell you is there are two parts of the phone system issues that came up. We had 12 lines on the studio area, and 8 of them were working, 4 of them were not working. After follow-up, now the 4 lines are working on the studio, so that was the first part of the project. The second part of the project was to get everyone to get together to work with the phone company, the company that were installing that phone. And so now they are talking with our tech, and they're supposed to exchange information and come up with some proposals, and to let us, Lynn also was part of that meeting, to let us know exactly what it will take to install that phone, how fast it can be installed, and should we invest more money to have it, quote-unquote, more or less stable, or should we go with it as is. So that was my first priority. What I've installed in there also is I've found a culture at BAI where when you set up meetings and so forth, it's by word of mouth, and people show up, would not show up. Everything is documented through email, so they printed in these other documents of what happened, and so everyone is aware. And in the media world, you should check your email. And we have minutes of the meeting that I'm probably going to make available online somewhere. Hiring practices at BAI. Another thing that came up is the union had concerns about certain hiring practices. So we met with the union twice already, Arlene, and we created a list. The union demanded a list, so we created a list of paid employees or paid anyone who was paid, and we provided to the union. And so they are reviewing that list. And so right now it's on their side to get back to us with their concerns so that they can clearly state what is their concern so that we can address them. Election list has been generated. I know you are concerned about WBI election list. I can tell you that you should not be concerned. You know, we run the election list already, and we gave it to the election supervisor. When we do not know what we're doing, we call MEMSIS, so not to take any chances. How to run an election list is documented, so anyone can run through it. I mean, we have experience before. I think we went through the process. There was a demonstration a couple of months ago where MEMSIS was online and went over, and you know, we had an open forum where people could come and witness how we run our election list, and I'm running this election list. I run it. One thing about this election list that was very telling is I'm a data guy, kind of. So I compared this election list to the previous list, and it seems like 2/3 of our membership are no longer participating members. So we lost 10,000 members, and we gained 10,000. So we have about 16,000 eligible members. That also gives you the story of WBAI, and you know, we have to really think about why this is happening and how to address it. Budget, you know, we do the budget. I'm very familiar with the budget. Working on the WBI budget, it will be done within 2 weeks, I think, once I become fully involved there. The budget model, you know, we worked on it together with the national office, so I'm very familiar with the budget model. Fulfillment rate at WBI right now, the last fund drive, it's 66.7%, with credit card at 91.6%, and cash at 23%. Actually, the cash pledge, 23%, is pretty high. Usually, it's much lower than that. But still, 66.7%, we are projecting to get to 70%, but our goal should really be 80%, even though last year's our fulfillment rate was 76%, and we did not meet it. Programming, I've met with the operations department. I kind of have at least a 1-hour talk almost every day with the program director. There are a lot of communications problem at the station. You know, we do not have policies and procedures set up. So when programmers are given programs or pilot programs, you know, there are issues, you know, because there is no clarity. And so policies and procedures, how you get a program, that's going to have to be worked on. You know, the program director is fully aware of that, and we will be collaborating together to put that together and have it very fair and equitable.
That's about time, okay. Bertold.
I thought I had nothing to say. Oh, wow.
Thank you.
Okay.
Next is, there's no time for questions. We already. They're going to be here. They're going to be here for the entire time, so you can buttonhole them outside. Grigsby Hubbard from PFW.
You. Appreciate the opportunity to address members of the board and to be in this community. I have so many good friends and family. I want to opt for some time for an exchange and limit myself to perhaps two or three clarifying narratives about the report you have before you, and again echo the invitation to talk with me about the situation at our station, and moreover some of the critical thinking that we've had a chance to engage in. We do more than just the problem solving, and I can't emphasize enough how critical it is to root all of our work in the realities that sometimes don't get, you know, percolate up enough about what actually is meant by this business. I'm fond of reminding people that in any business, one of the most important things you can do constantly is to ask yourself the basic question of what business am I in? It sounds overly simplistic. We think we know the answer to that, and yet it's very dislocating to realize how often we're engaged in things that are not related to that particular core business, or that the business we're engaged in the moment is not furthering our essential business. One of the things that's been instructive about this report is, I can share with you an anecdote. I was in the car going back last night after, you know, a pretty exhilarating engagement, first face-to-face with a lot of the people within the network who, you know, sometimes struggle without this kind of shared conversation that's so essential. And I got a phone call saying there's a rumor afloat that, you know, your co-workers are being pink-slipped, that they've gotten their last paycheck. He's reciting it as, you know, that's the line. And, you know, I've been at pains to do that, and it gave me the opportunity, which, you know, I didn't want to feed into it in my calls back to the station to see if there was anything emanating from there. And I thought, too, one of the, you know, possible triggers is a point in this, my very own report, where I've made a practice. It's difficult. There's no particular guideline for what's reported and what's left out, and, you know, I try to be as clear as possible. One of the things I've opted to do is to literally share with everybody exactly what we have in our bank account, and there's just the one bank account. Now, what's interesting about that, and those from our local area can certainly recall that one of my monthly reports had a negative number there. I mean, there was a negative $782, I think it was, and that passed without notice. So I did put it in context here, understanding that this is a matter of timing, that it's a snapshot, but indicates something important about how close things are. I mean, we can hang a lot of language on it, how dicey it's been for the entirety of our time there. But it's just it's just a snapshot. It does not have that implication, even though I said, if you were to take a look at it now, there's not enough for this thing. You know, but, you know, we do this calculation. It's one of the many challenging things, you know, that is part of this job. Now, one of the other challenging things that's been part of my job has been that reminder that we're in the radio business, a matter of, in our case, tubes and wires and, you know, some equipment that some would argue belongs more in a museum than undergirding, you know, what we do. That narrative is at an interesting place, a very challenging place. We've, you know, it the context for, you know, the way we typically look at things is, you know, how much money did you make? You know, how much money did you make lately? Well, whatever we've done through our main way of raising money over the air, we've done at low power. We actually effectively doubled that power because Jim was generous enough to loan us a transmitter, and that's what we're operating on right now. But it's still less than our full power, and our goal is to be at full power as soon as possible, and we're working towards that. We have a backup transmitter that is being refurbished by the manufacturer, and there's some details about the many contingencies about putting that in, but we're trying to get that done as soon as possible. And I would also point out that there are there's some of a gloss about how we are working with our LSB as part of this process of bringing a new website online and with a new server. And I should mention that we've been working diligently toward compliance, the retraining, and in our case, I mean, there was this throwaway reference here about the confessor. The reference was, well, what does it take, computers? Well, in our case, that was a big deal to install computers. I personally have yet to work on a computer that was supplied by Pacifica. I mean, what I have for the entirety of my time here is whatever I brought from home. That's still another way of framing the state of our operations. Now, obviously, there are compelling backstories, and I'd be happy to discuss any of these kinds of things or take these up, but I just wanted to single those issues and items out of a longer report. Thank you. I see Campbell's hand in the air already.
Two or three minutes, Campbell? What have we got? Three minutes, so we have time for questions.
Okay.
Sean?
Yeah, you said you weren't up to full power.
Yes.
How much power are we up to? And not being up to full power, how does that affect your audience? Are you losing 20% of your audience, 30, or what? And ballpark estimates will do here.
It's difficult to quantify. We're on a 2K transmitter, and you can weigh in if you will. And it's my understanding that. It's not so much compromising the total footprint as it's an issue of penetration and privileging better receivers. In other words, you can lose the ability to pick it up on a radio around the corner. that's what's happening. For us, while it's difficult to quantify, it's really not that hard because people have been really concerned about it, and we get calls all the time, and communications and emails and this sort of thing. Obviously, one of the measures that's most painful is the fall off in pledges. But you know, if they can't hear us, right. It makes it that much more difficult, and that's where we've been for a while. And you know. If you'd like, I can walk you through all that it means with, you know, all the engineers we've had involved at in trying to address this problem. We've had, you know, issues from trying to bring the other transmitter up to full strength to figuring out different remedies to the prospect of having to relocate within the shed. We still have the specter of the lead abatement issue at our antenna hanging over our head. That was why we were initially talking about this particular transmitter. So it's got us very busy and involved in our core transmission issue. People have rallied, but there's only so much you can do if you can't deliver that. I mean, we've had people volunteer to come try to help solve problems, that sort of thing. But it's also made for, pulling out of the woodwork, a large network of engineering support. So that's been a good part of it. But we just need to get this part solved soon.
Grigsby, thank you.
Okay.
Next is Dwayne Bradley from KPFT.
Howdy.
Hi. He's really from Jersey.
It's been a long time. I sent my report off to y'all. It's in your packets. I hope it gets posted. I'm not going to read it. I would like to make some comments that expand on some things that are maybe not mentioned in it. A couple of things that were maybe glossed over or omitted. And in a couple of minutes, I'd like to. I want to acknowledge you all for being the volunteers who are directing our foundation. I work for the person you hired, and I thank you for making a wise choice. Those of you who were involved in that choice last October in Houston. I think that Arlene, in my experience of working with her and with my colleagues in the national office and also on the management team, as it were, I think we're doing a great job. I have a lot of high hopes. I think y'all have made a really good choice here, and this is. Made me feel more hopeful about the future of Pacifica, more hopeful than I felt in the fall of last year. That being said, I'm not here to be Pollyanna in the Pacifica planet, but I do want to share some good news because there's ample evidence of bad news in and around the network. Houston, for what it's worth, representing only 10% of the pie of Pacifica, if you will, is in good financial shape. We're on target toward meeting our budget. We have roughly $200,000 in the bank right now, which for a small operation as we are with, that's roughly 2 months operating expenses in the bank. That's pretty good stuff. Our FY11 budget is positive and has been submitted to the national office and I hope has made it to the National Finance Committee. If not, it should be at their next meeting. So those are, in our little way, the little station that could down there in Texas is doing what it can for the family. We have a summer sizzle fund drive scheduled for 9 days in August. And if you've ever been in Houston in August, you know why it's called the sizzle. We're hoping to raise $175,000. And in that, we've built a model of running our fund drives that incorporate an opportunity for the members of our community to kind of double dip and, serve the greater good by not only helping us but allowing us to help other worthy organizations. We've raised funds for Haitian Relief. We've raised funds for the Pink Ribbons Project. We've worked with Doctors Without Borders. We, in this next fund drive, in sort of a twist on that same partnering angle where we raise funds for us and then pass some of it along to other worthy organizations, we're partnering in the Summer Sizzle with the Pacifica Radio Archives. And so we're offering our listeners an opportunity to give essentially to Pacifica twice in one gift. We want to raise $17,000 for the archives. That's what we each of the five stations need to do to come up with the shortage that exists at National for the archives just to get it through this year. So that's our angle on how we're going to do it. We're building, with Brian's help, a mini campus campaign so that we can raise consciousness and funds and help the archives, help ourselves, and improve the community all in one fell swoop. In terms of some programming issues, KPFT was off the air for the first half of the Kagan hearings because some bandits broke into our transmitter site and stole about 250 feet of copper. That, fortunately, though it took us off the air for a day and a half, it didn't cost us any money, per se. Though it did impact our landlord at the tower site, it didn't actually take anything out of KPFT's transmission chain, per se. So we suffered but not grievous bodily damage from that experience. And we gained some sympathy. We got written up in, I got a letter from John Krigler in Washington, D.C., who saw it in the radio business trade papers online that KPFT had been taken off the air. It was blogged about. It was in the Houston papers. So, you know, we got some free marketing. And you know, it just cost us a day and a half of airtime. We're also very close to turning on our second repeater, our translator station in Huntsville, which is about 60 miles north of Houston, which is where Death Row is located in Texas, and Texas is famous for death. And you know, we do represent the prison industrial complex, and our signal, by and large, reaches most of the main prison sites in Texas. But this translator that we're building in Huntsville that should come online within the next month will really take us in fully into beyond, you know, inside the walls solidly, where right now it's kind of sporadic coverage up on the north side. So that's a big thing to a lot of people. I think that Huntsville is a college town. It's not that big of a town, but I think that we'll parlay that into some increased memberships and certainly some good karma. We're also working on some 40th anniversary projects. We just in May celebrated the 40th anniversary of the first Klan bombing of KPFT. This next week is the 40th anniversary of the assassination of Carl Hampton, who started People's Party II and took the Black Panther movement to Houston. He was killed. KPFT was extensively involved in getting that message out to the people, was involved in helping bring that People's Party message to Houston and the coverage of that, which then I have to believe was part of the reason why in October of this year we'll be celebrating the 40th anniversary of the second, much more extensive bombing of KPFT by the Klan. And as a way of commemorating some of these things, we're working on some programs to commemorate, celebrate, and also gain some consciousness raising about KPFT and what it's meant in the community. We're working on a museum project to look back at the 40 years of what can be termed domestic terrorism from the origins of KPFT, the assassinations, the bombings, and the recent, you know, in the recent past, we're a few weeks away from the second anniversary of the shooting in our control room. So we have a lot to, I think, build consciousness raising around at KPFT. We're also working on this 40th anniversary of the station as an opportunity to launch a major donor program. We have an architectural firm that's working on some plans that we're going to unveil probably around the anniversary of the returning to air 40 years ago next January, when, you know, after that 3.5 month absence from Houston by KPFT in a major donor program. We've just rolled out a planned giving program. You know, KPFT is the youngest average listener age in the family, and we're approaching 50. Those older stations in the family are a little further gray. Planned giving, estate planning, wills are, I think, an important tool for us to use while we can with those who are still listening to our stations. On a lighter note, in May, KPFT was honored by the Texas Music Association with its Radio Station of the Year Award. That's something that I neglected to mention in this report. Our elections process is going relatively smoothly. We have nearly 24 listener candidates running, over 6 staff members running. All systems are go. We're looking at having a good turnout, a good process for this. I guess I'd like to just close on this note. You know, what we're working together, trying to do, all of us, those of us who work for a paycheck for the network, those of us who work merely for the spirit of it, we're also working for the spirit of it too. We're all in this together, and I think that, you know, we're weaving in different ways the web of community. And I may have some more to say during public comment later. Thank you.
Thank you, Duane.
The agreement was we wouldn't take questions if the GMs went to 10 minutes.
I wanted to point out something that he had said.
Okay.
KPFT did submit their budget. We actually reviewed their budget with the business manager for KPFT, and that was like 2 meetings ago. The last meeting we had to review with Brian DeShazers and the Pacifica Radio Archive. So you guys are on. You have submitted your revised budget. Everything looks like a go.
Okay. Next is Brian. Well, let's see. I think Jennifer is not here. Is that correct? She is here. There you are. Jennifer Kaiser from KPFK.
Just this a little bit. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Great. I want to send greetings to everyone on behalf of KPFK staff. Thanks to the PNB. Thanks to Arlene LaVarne and your efforts on behalf of the Pacifica Mission. We're grateful. I want to shout out to our outstanding staff at KPFK Radio. We just finished a really long fun drive, and our team worked really hard, really well, and we, though didn't achieve our original goal, we got very close to that original goal, but we worked as a team all the way through, and I just want to send a very special shout out to them. They work very hard, and they're great. As I mentioned, the June drive was a little bit of a surprise for us, something that, you know, we experienced a bit of in February. But it was this June drive was the first time that we didn't actually reach our original goal. and we're not used to that. We adjusted well, and one strength that we have is that we're a very strong team. When we go into fund drives, everyone on the staff goes into their fund drive configuration, and we work hard to adjust our programming and adjust our ideas. We meet, we talk, we adjust whatever we're doing if something's working on air. Some of our producers are outstanding at promoting our fund drives. Christine Blasdale, Maggie LaPeak, Sonali Kohatkar, Margaret Prescott. These women work very, very hard and help us achieve our goals over and over again. Nonetheless, this year continues to be a challenge on many levels. We are working to move KPFK forward by adjusting programming, increasing listenership, working on a broader approach to fundraising, and a continuing community outreach effort to bring more people to KPFK. We're developing new programming. We're increasing our support staff and rebuilding our news department. These are projects that we're working on very slowly with, you know, increasing support staff. We've brought one person on a part-time temporary basis to do some customer service calling for us because we noticed that our membership department was completely dedicated to following up with vendors, suppliers of premiums, and we really needed to attend to the donors themselves. So we have somebody making calls for us, and it has yielded, actually, additional money for us, additional revenue. Nonetheless, more than ever before, KPFK really needs our local station board to participate in fundraising. And so we would like to say that all of Pacifica, all the stations, really need the support of their local boards in that fundraising effort. We need your help. We need your help. So we need to be more creative, more innovative, and work in concert with one another to really see that we have the funding for the projects, the social justice project, the media project that we have at Pacifica. As I mentioned, the team at KPFK is really a strong team. We're a bare-bones team. We did go through cuts a year ago, actually about 2 years ago now. A lot of our staff does double duty, and we also think, you know, we're blessed with the fact that our staff thinks creatively to try to solve some of these programming and fundraising problems and to improve our operation in these areas. Some highlights from KPFK. We now have KPFK TV. This is a YouTube channel we have running on our website. With interviews that hosts have conducted with various personalities, interesting people, thinkers, artists. And we even have a video there, a training video of our current volunteer coordinator showing a person what it's like to come into the station for the first time and fill out a pledge card in the phone room during fund drive. We're also hosting auctions on eBay, and this came as a result of this came through Sonali Kohatkar, our producer of Uprising Radio. She went to her son's school's fundraiser and saw how parents were fighting over this beautiful quilt made up of all the children's artwork. And she said, you know what? We have a lot of special items in our midst, and I'm sure that we could do the same thing for KPFK. So we now have auctions of special items up that benefit the station. We're partnering with organizations like the Will Gear Theater, Theatricum Botanicum, co-fundraisers. Basically, it's a theatrical piece. They're performing this tonight, actually. Carry It On. This is a performance of poems and songs and speeches by well-known civil rights figures and other thinkers in our history, and it has the likes of Amy Madigan and James Cromwell in this performance piece. They came to us and offered to share the proceeds of the show with us, and this was an opportunity for us to share with the Pacifica Radio Archives an opportunity to promote the actual recorded voices of these individuals that they have in this performance, and that will be going on tonight. We're constantly looking for opportunities like this one, and it's part of our fundraising project. We're also looking into a cell phone recycling program, and I'll let you know the results of that once I've fleshed it out a little further with our management team. This is something that can be shared with the rest of the stations, certainly, because it's a very simple, like the car recycling program. You put a promo on the air, and people donate, drop off their cell phones, and we get a portion of the proceeds. It's another way to do something environmentally positive and get some money for it. In staffing and operations, we've increased our remotes. As I mentioned, we hired a part-timer to make customer service calls, and we're examining the opportunity to install some solar panels, be the first on the block to have solar panels over our parking lot. This is a huge endeavor, but if we can pull it off, if we can write the grant for it and get it funded, it would be an outstanding publicity and a statement for KPFK in the area. So we're really going to be pursuing that. And that's all I have. Do you have any questions?
We have 4 minutes to ask them. Any questions?
This is where you sing.
This is where I sing.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi.
Thank you for reserving time for interaction. It I really appreciate being able to interact with the folk who run the stations that we're charged with governing. I'm interested in what kind of sense time frame do you all have of when you think that these efforts will bear fruit, and what does that mean in terms of the financial health of your station?
Well, of course, we're examining all of that. Implementation is one of the hardest things in this organization. We have great ideas. We talk a lot about our great ideas. Implementing them requires resources up front, and that also requires planning. So there's always the startup to the great idea. So in all of these things, we've discussed them carefully. Some of these things that I've mentioned are actually pretty easy. We're already set up. We have a well-functioning website, and that's ready to receive a button for an eBay auction. That's ready to receive, you know, a quick connect to a Facebook page where you have an announcement about something. And we can do a lot with those websites to generate revenue. We keep our website up, for example, after Fund Drive, so that people can continue to look at trailers from some of the DVD material we've offered, or look at the books that Ian Masters was offering, or look at some of the other CDs that Margaret was offering, and so on and so forth. So our website is there. So that structure is there for us to utilize. Then the bigger plans, things like solar paneling, we have to work with the city. So, you know, these are great ideas or things that we want to jump on, and we start with the exploratory. What would we have to do to work with the city? What would we have to do to work with the rest of the block? So at the moment, it is exploratory, but it is something that we have added to our dream list, our wish list, but something we are actively working on. It may bear fruit 5 years from now, but we're hoping that we would get some results before. If you look in the report from the operations director, something I want to point out, our report is actually in sections, you'll notice, and that's because we function as a team. Department head submits their report, their specific report on the area that they're working in. So the details from the operations director about that plan are in his report. Have I answered your question?
With regard to diversity of programming, I know that that's a concern throughout the network, and I recall that there was a particular question, or there's been intense questioning at your station. How are you all dealing with diversity, ensuring diversity of programming?
Diversity is an important priority when discussing programming, always. We have diversity on our air. We want to ensure that we keep it. So it is a priority for us.
Okay, we're out of time. Jennifer, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Next is Brian DeShazer from the Archives, the Director of the Archives.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Brian.
There in the audience. Sorry about my back.
They got your back.
They got my back. Great. Welcome, Board of Directors. If you'll notice in the board packet, there is my written report to the Board of Directors, also submitted to Arlene Engelhardt. So with only a 10-minute presentation, I'm going to read just the opening paragraph, and then we're going to watch a presentation from the New American Archive that includes audio from KPFA and KPFK. Just KPFA. When the digital age met the archiving profession in about 2002, the task has been to digitize the Pacifica Radio Archive's tape collection and make the audio and records from the public access database more available to the broadest range of public via the World Wide Web. Since the overwhelming and increasingly expensive process was never part of the PRA, Pacifica Radio Archives, operations budget, the goal was accomplished with modest grants from the National Endowment for the Arts, the Grammy Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and partnerships with UC Berkeley Moffitt Library and others, capturing the collection in small increments. With our recent work with the American Archive Pilot Project, funded by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting in December of 2009, the best and perhaps only opportunity to achieve the goal will soon be before us. The Pacifica Foundation must take steps now to ensure the Pacifica Archive has the resources and infrastructure, meaning the professional archiving position of cataloger and a web technology staff person, to deliver on current grant-funded projects and be eligible for the new grant possibilities with the American Archive. And so I'll stop there for the moment, because we're talking about the American Archive and this supposed best and perhaps only opportunity. Remember that the tape collection right now is about 50,000 tapes. We also have five off-site storage rooms with that are climate controlled, that are holding tapes from WBAI, WPFW, and from KPFT that haven't even been looked at. What presentation I'm about to show you is the presentation that was given to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting Board of Directors in Los Angeles a few weeks ago, and was loaned to us to present to you so that you could see the results of the pilot project that the archives. It was $89,000. We did an inventory of the African-American Civil Rights Movement recordings from KPFA studios only, because we only had a very short time to do that inventory. The next step in the opportunity is that CPB Board has made the American Archive a priority for this country, and the executive management at CPB has also seen it as a priority. They've given a lot of money. I don't know the number off the top of my head, but they've given a lot of money to do the first comprehensive inventory in the United States of public broadcasting, community radio, and television, to be done in the next. The RFP, or the request for proposal to be part of that inventory, will come available August 1st, which is next week. That means that myself and our preservation and access coordinator, Addie Gevins, and I will be working diligently to make sure that we are eligible and have the resources we need to apply for the grant and receive it. What that also is encouraging is that not only our stations and our collection at the Pacifica Archives will be included, but the independent producers that have come through our airwaves since day one will be included in the comprehensive inventory. So Bob Fass's collection in New York will be included. Chris Welch at KPFA will be included. Philip Muldery's collection will be included. Anybody that we can find in America that is still alive that has tapes, or family that has tapes from Pacifica, will be included in the inventory. So the opportunity is before us, and if we do not have the infrastructure and the staffing to deliver on the grant deliverables, we will not have this opportunity, and it will pass us by. If you think that we can accomplish the goal of digitizing 50,000 tapes when we've done only about 2,000 or 3,000 in the past 7 years, the tape is still deteriorating. The tapes will not be paused until this foundation gets stable enough to take care of them. They are deteriorating whether we like it or not. So that's Let's see the fancy part of it now, the presentation. Oh, so I'm only showing you half of it. The first half of this presentation is opened up by a speech by Ken Burns because the pilot project separated the World War II raw interviews that was done as part of the PBS documentary on World War II. So the first half of it shows some of those raw interviews that were done at local TV stations that are now included in the American Archive. The second half is the African American Civil Rights Movement collection, which is what KPFA is now part of.
And the Southern way of life has always been an enigma.
In spite of the fact that you have great respect for some Negro individuals, there is some physical revulsion, I think, that the skin is dark.
The question of segregation versus integration is a heated one at any time.
Segregation is detrimental to both Negro children and white children. By closing our eyes to it, we only wake up every morning faced with it. Thank you.
But they couldn't allow that because they knew that the day that Negro and white kids went to elementary school together and to high school together and went into the armed services, came out into the colleges and went to school on an integrated basis, the politicians of the South knew as soon as that happened, they would have to get something better than the race issue to get reelected on.
Detroit is a city of neighborhoods. But with urban expansion and the construction of the Chrysler Freeway, Detroit's black population was displaced.
This area here is one of the most rundown areas in the city.
I'm a veteran of the Second World War, and I feel as though that I have as much right as anyone to purchase a home of my choosing.
In over 95% of the cases in which we sought apartments in Massachusetts, we were discriminated against.
Malcolm X has said of your movement that it plays into the hands of the white oppressors.
There's a great deal of difference between non-resistance to evil and non-violent resistance.
Reverend Martin Luther King preaches a doctrine of non-violent philosophy.
The white man pays Reverend Martin Luther King, subsidizes Reverend Martin Luther King, so that Reverend Martin Luther King can continue to teach the Negroes to be defenseless. That's what you mean by nonviolent.
Complete separation.
Complete separation is the only solution to the black and white problem in this country.
Whites and blacks cannot get along. This is nature. This is getting worse every day.
Mama intended to teach Bailey, my brother, and me to use the paths in life that she and her generation and all the Negroes gone before had found and found to be safe ones. She didn't cotton to the idea that white folks could be talked to at all without risking one's life.
Our aim is not to defeat the white community, but to win the friendship of all of the persons who have perpetrated this system in the past.
The assassination of the symbol of peace and the representation of the rights of the poor through a meek and wise man, Dr. King. The government, I feel, is responsible by not developing ways for the poor, ways for the oppressed.
Tributes to the Negro leader came from everywhere, from kings and queens, from heads of state, and from little boys.
Martin Luther King, he was born 1929, and he talked about nonviolence. He was shot last night in the neck. One thing.
Those things which my husband stood for have been embraced by many more people since his death than during his lifetime.
There are positions of leadership. There are roles of leadership. But as I see it, whoever truly responds to need gives leadership.
If we were in a free America, in a free country, all should be free.
100 years is too long to give a man full rights on paper and not give it to him in reality.
I'm black! I'm beautiful! I'm dark!
hoodwinked, bamboozled.
Is that publicly available somewhere?
No, that was for the board of directors, so it was only done a few weeks ago, and this is the first showing outside of that board.
So what I have on my cell phone is totally illegal.
I'm done.
We're just waiting to wait. Actually, we don't have to wait for that. Let's see, next is Ahmad Anderson. He's got two functions.
Did you want any questions?
No, it's time, the time's over.